Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. The Lord bless you indeed. In the name of Jesus Christ. In a moment of time, we want to thank God for the grace that He has bestowed upon us as a ministry. The other time I was trying to take inventory of the things that God is doing in our midst, and it exceeds the realm of logic. I was brought to a quick understanding of the scripture that says that the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong. Indeed, we have seen the manifestation of these words as a ministry. We want to take a moment to acknowledge the hand of God that is at work in our midst. Did you come with your prayer voice today? We want to appreciate the grace of God that is at work in our midst. It's beyond logic. Can we give Him praise? Can we exalt Him? No, I'm not saying clap. No. I'm saying make your heart into words and adorn the Lord Jesus Christ for making available to us such grace that is beyond imagining. Oh, we give you glory. I can't hear your voice. Do not sleep on me. Do not slumber on me. It is time to glorify our God, because He has done all things well. We glorify Him. Moseli kobrante kuza na halaita. Genia kole bonde. Braskofe lasike mahalando. Ai koba siko bresko vilande. Shamahanta baboria. Eskofe la baba santeli. Abrasketo kompose na halaita. Ebrisko falamonda. Yakabe sofretes. Abresko velamina takalia. Escobinande, Ekaitoma, Ekaita Messi, Ekaita Kombela, Ekaita Sama Canteli, Ekopesa, Ekomantalia, Ekopresco Velamanda, Esusazeli, Abrante Babokotama, Avala Bashaka, Abata Seminata, Obrisco Filamo, Aveli, Akayando. Cabelata, Esima Sicatelimo, Abracatala Babota, of Jesus we worship. Let your name be forever glorified. We acknowledge the workings of your hand in our midst. And we have considered it. And we know that it is not by power. It is not by might. But it is by your Spirit. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Once again, we worship him with a clap offering. He has done all things well. He has done all things well. He has done all things well. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. You may take your seat. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Can you counsel? Okay, all right. I want to give a report to us quickly. And that's the reason why the people in charge of the console have not yet switched on other lighting points. In the year 2009, I made my first missionary trip outside of Nigeria to a place in the regions of Southern Africa, not South Africa, but in the regions of Southern Africa. And when I got to that place, we had a session in the morning. And in between the morning and the evening session, I had a little nap. It was a prophetic nap. And God came to me with an encounter. The encounter was such a long one. The history of the move of God in that part of the world was unveiled to me in the little vision that I saw. And somewhere towards the end of the encounter, the messenger that was sent to bring the message to me now made a statement that right now in heaven, that is 2009, you have been appointed to be one of the fathers of the African revival. There were two things that came out so strong in that presentation. First was that in my lifetime, there was going to be a move of God that will spring forth from the continent of Africa. That insight was so bogus that I was afraid to share it. So I wrote it down somewhere. And I began to pray over it again and again and again. And somewhere 2 years ago, the Lord now brought a reminder that the season in which those words will begin to find practical application has come. I was also still so amazed at the enormous nature of the insight, the revelation, that I couldn't share it publicly until the mantle itself began to operate. And it's been operating for like 2 years now. And my life has changed. I mean, the scope of encounter, the things I see in territories, the gift of discernment of spirit, the workings of God is beyond the textbook. It has gone into a layer, a level that only God can craft by himself. You see, there's a time when prophecies are given. And there's a time when prophecies are fulfilled. The anointing that is needed to give a prophecy of the future is different from the anointing that comes to accomplish it, that comes to galvanize the functionaries that are implicated in order to begin to bring the counsel of God to pass. My testimony today is that the thing that God has spoken many years ago, we have entered into the reality of the anointing that brings it to pass. There was no land that the Lord sent us that did not open to us. No land. No matter its demonic history, no matter the darkness that is domiciled therein, we have seen great evidence to show that God is determined to do something significant on the continent of Africa. The mantle of revival that God spoke about that will be functional, operational in the continent, it is very, very functional as we speak right now. We began the second campaign. You know, our campaigns are broken into each quarter of the year. The first quarter of the year, we began with Cameroon, then we went to the United Kingdom, then we went to Togo, then we went to Cameroon. Hallelujah. Then in the second quarter, we went to South Africa. So what we are talking about now is the second quarter, is the content of the second quarter. And we have had the first missionary journey in this second quarter. And now we have come back from a second missionary journey within the scope of the second quarter. And the things we see on the field, they are mind-blowing. Our journey began, as always, with an intervention from the kingdom of darkness, trying to administer resistance so that we will not go into the mission field. It's always like that. Satan doesn't learn. Satan is a bad learner. He keeps repeating the same mistakes that he makes all over again. I've learned a few things in my walk with God, part of which is consistency. When you are consistent, then you begin to see the things that God has promised. If your life is not consistent, the devil is going to throw you into confusion. But if you are consistent in your conviction, you are consistent in your believing the Lord, if you are consistent in your walk of holiness, if you are consistent in modeling the example of Jesus Christ with all tenacity, with all consistency, God is going to surprise you. He'll put you on the spotlight. So we began again on this trip, and Satan tried as much as possible to stop us from making the trip. We went to minister with my friend Apostle Gideon in the city of Jos, and when we finished, we realized that there was flight service from Jos to Abuja. So we went to the airport, we booked the tickets, and we were waiting for the plane to come. The plane actually came, but it could not land. It just could not land. And in fact, the tires touched the ground, the back tires, you know, the back tires. The back tires normally touch the ground before the front tires. So the screeching of the back tires, you hear it, but the plane could not land. It went back to Abuja, came back in the next 2 hours. I saw that one. 10 minutes before the plane was to land, a strange mist. That was when I knew we were in contention with the prince of the power of the air. A strange mist began to fill the whole atmosphere. And before the plane began to negotiate the landing, the visibility was almost impossible, and he had to go to Abuja. They convinced us, because there were delegates in the airport that were going to the political war front, and they were so convinced that the plane will make a third round. We left the airport by 2 a.m., having exhausted our hope, back to Georgetown to spend the night, and our flight was supposed to be by 12 noon the next day. And the only way we could have made and met up with our flight was if we had powers to disappear and to appear on the other side. And obviously, those powers were not at work that day. So, they say 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, the plane is going to come. we hurried and we're on our way to the airport again. Then they say, it has been shifted to 11. So we knew that even if we had waited until old age, as far as the prince of the power of the air was concerned, he was going to keep us delayed at the airport. So we took the option we had always not, the option that was not conducive, which was the road trip. By the time we got there, obviously the plane had gone. We had to reschedule. It took too much money to reschedule our flight for the next day. And when I say too much money, trust me, it took too much money. It's not, the money is not reasonable. It's not rational. But we paid because it was the Lord's errand that we were on. And that was how we got on the flight for what? No. The Tuesday flight, we're supposed to travel on Monday. Tuesday flight, fully booked. We had no seat in Abuja. We couldn't find a seat in Lagos. So we had to go on Wednesday flight.
Hallelujah.
But this was the story that resulted from that initial hindrance. This was a conference that we went for with Bishop John C.W. Of Kenya. And the Lord came mightily. Mightily. We missed the first day of the conference because of the challenges we had with our travels. And I was decorated with the attire of a Messiah. The hand of God was so powerful, especially in the little times we had opportunities to pray in the closet before sessions. Jesus will make himself available. The strength of the Lord, I have seen the strength of the Lord. Hallelujah. All kinds of miracles. Some of you followed. All kinds of deliverances. Demons of different sizes were arrested during the course of this conference. And it was a great moment of glory. We need to give thanks to God for what happened there. And when we were done with Kenya, I think, so we had like 4 days left. 4 days, we ministered for 4 days in Kenya, and we moved to the nation of Tanzania. The contact man in Tanzania, who happens to be Apostle Addo. When I heard that his name, Addo, I thought it was an imam. Because I've heard Addo Bayero. I've heard Addo Ibrahim. And all these people that bear the name Addo were Muslim people. So when he began to chat with me about the need to come to Tanzania, I thought it was an imam that wanted to set a trap. Until I discovered that he invited Prophet Sadhu to Tanzania. So I said, okay. That was a confirmation that he was not who I thought. So we went to the nation of Tanzania. We arrived at Dar es Salaam. Sorry, we don't have pictures for our mission in Dar es Salaam. We just realized we don't have pictures. Then we also visited another city. We were there for 5 days. It was explosive. The hand of God was so powerful as the Lord brought mighty deliverance in that land. I had to update my knowledge bank in deliverance in Mwanza, Tanzania. Can you see? Vomiting all kinds of things. Oh my God. It was a strange mission. And the hand of God was so powerful. And that was with Pastor George of Jesus Restoration Center in the city of Mwanza. So we hope that we will be going back to Tanzania probably mid next year to consolidate on that which has begun. We want to take a moment to give thanks to the Lord and to glorify His holy name. Hallelujah. So those are the things that took place there. Mighty miracles we saw. The eyes open. We saw ears open. We saw all kinds of things happen on that mission. And I was told that such a thing has never happened in that city before. So God is using us to open up a new gospel possibility on the continent of Africa. And on Sunday evening, it was as if the host of heaven paid us a visit, because the dimension of deliverance that was at work was impossible. Can we once again celebrate the Lord for this faithfulness? So we are believing God to continue with the campaign of the gospel on the continent of Africa. The Lord has given us as a ministry a mantle to that effect, and we are trusting Him to adequately administer the resources that are contained in that mantle. Hallelujah. Secondly, I want to bring to our notice a very critical announcement. Prophecy is of two types. Prophecy is of two types. There are prophecies that are unconditional. The promises that are contained in the prophecies that are uttered, it is possible for those promises to be unconditional. In such a case, the sovereignty of God is responsible for bringing every aspect of those promises to pass. And there are also prophecies that the promises that are contained in them are conditional. The way you relate with prophecies that are not conditional, whose promises are not conditional, is different from the way you relate with prophecies that contain promises that are conditional. We as a nation have a prophecy, and we have something that we have placed before our face that gives us a sense of direction as the people of God in this nation. And the prophecies of which I speak were captured in the utterances of Pa Elton. Pa Elton revealed that the destiny of Nigeria is going to be in two major seasons. The first major season is the season of darkness that is identified by a regime of corruption. I was privileged to see the graduates from Amadibelo University in 1979. And they told the experiences of how that when you graduate with a university degree, you're already a man that is established. Because those days, the country was responsible, and it took responsibility for her workforce. So the moment you become a graduate, there is a change in your paradigm. Accommodation is no longer one of your prayer points, and the economy was solid, and so long-term plans could be made. The standard of living was very wonderful, and you would not have that level of standard of living if you were not in Nigeria. So if those days when people graduated, they were not hoping to move to the United States of America. They were not hoping to move to the Great Britain, because the conditions of service right here was so adequate that you could forecast a wonderful career life under the systems of service that were available in our civil service layout. Unfortunately, the spirit of corruption, just as it is contained in Pa Elton's prophecy, began to seep in gradually until Nigeria became the headquarters of corruption in the world. It means, are you with me? It means everything we do here is by corruption. That's the meaning of that. And it happens to be that in recent times, we reached our climax as a nation in our journey of corruption. I read something in the news how some judges petitioned the chief judge of Nigeria for corruption. Judges. So that's the height of corruption, because the plumb line is beveled. That's the height of it. So the first aspect of the prophecy of Pa Elton has been fulfilled. We have seen Nigeria gallop and struggle through the corridor of corruption. And it is obvious at this point that the two principalities that we are contending with as a nation is a principality called corruption and the spirit of the occult. But like I said, the prophecy that was given to us as a nation did not end in corruption. Elton spoke about a season of righteousness that was coming to salvage the land, and that Nigeria will become the destination, the world destination for righteousness and for probity and equity. We have arrived at that point where God is willing to orchestrate a transition. The only thing about this prophecy that I'd like to bring to our notice, which we have neglected for so many years, is that this prophecy happens to be conditional. That means it requires our participation in order for it to come to pass. Just like the corruption aspect of the prophecy did not just happen by God's sovereignty. There were apostles of corruption that took advantage of the commonwealth of the land, and it has brought us to this sorry state. And in the same way, there'll be apostles of righteousness that will pioneer a new culture in our nation that will afford us the opportunity to see the fulfillment of the righteousness era. The greatest warfare in Nigeria is about to be fought. It's a warfare that will occasion our transition from corruption into righteousness. And it happens to be that this mighty warfare, in order for you to be conscripted to fight this war, you must have the necessary certification. And in this case, the certification that I speak of is called PVC. If we are going to see the transition, and meanwhile, there are three announcements I'm going to give from now to the time of the election. This is the first announcement. The first announcement requires that each and every one of us will go and obtain our PVC. I had it in mind to come with mine today. Fortunately, when we were leaving the home, we were in a hurry. So I'm going to come with you tomorrow evening to show you evidence that I have been conscripted. I'm ready for the battle. Now, we are going to take enough time to educate each and every one of us about the battle that I'm speaking of. The battle is going to involve each and every one of us, and we are going to be foot soldiers in the realization of the dream of God. Yes, each and every one of us, 1 month to election, 2 months to election, you will not be here because of this battle. You have a critical assignment that When last did you visit your village? You are going back. Yes. You are going back to Ado. You are going back to Ohimini. Yes, you are going back to Tukpo. You are going back to Boko. You are going back to Kasinala. You are going back to Nkum local government. But we are going to address you adequately so that you will understand the scope of the battle and how it is fought, the rules of engagement, and each one of us here is going to be an active foot soldier, including myself. Before we go into the details of the battle, first of all, we need to mobilize for certification. I am adequately certified, and I have my voter's card. We are going to do a campaign. According to the law, voter registration can only end in the month of December. That means we have an adequate window for each and every one of us to become registered. And indeed, we shall all be registered. So the first thing we are going to be doing right now is to establish a campaign for voter registration. By the time we accomplish that with 100% compliance, because no adult in our midst will be empty-handed. When we achieve 100% compliance, then we are going to go into the next phase of the education, which requires our own deliberate commitment to the cause for which the season has come over the nation Nigeria. Some more direct counsel and some more direct means of fighting for the destiny of our nation will be communicated, and each one will be adequately informed on how we are going to transit from this regime of corruption into the regime of righteousness. And I'd like to conclude this announcement by saying that this is that time when every member of the body of Christ, every man, every woman, will have to arise, because the Lord Jesus is calling on each and every one of us to provide a platform for him in the Nigeria of today. We have seen the darkness that can befall a nation when no one takes responsibility of our destiny. Right now, I have risen to take responsibility in this particular jurisdiction, this location, this terrain. You will hear my voice, and my voice will give you direction. May the Lord give us understanding. We are not going to approach it emotionally. No. And that's why I'm not moved to begin to unveil the second phase of the strategy. There is an arithmetic procedure that has been adequately captured to translate our fortunes into our prophetic destiny. So please help me preach to your neighbor with boldness. Go and acquire your PVC. It's part of the gospel of this season. Go and get your PVC. That's the only thing in Nigeria that you don't need to pay money for. We pay money for everything. Even when there's a logo free in Nigeria, we pay. But the only thing that has not yet come into that category is called PVC. PVC. So, from after this contact, we'll begin to do operation check for PVC. Yes, after this contact. Yes, operation check. So you might need the card to be admitted. If not, they have projector speakers. You can listen outside. But you might need that card to be admitted. You just might need the card. The transition into the glorious paradigm of our destiny is going to be occasioned by a well-calculated perfectly coordinated partnership of all the members in the body of Christ and those that sympathize for Nigeria. So we have been conscripted by the Lord. We start the campaign by saying, go get your PVC. Hallelujah. In July contract, we are going to take inventory of how many people have gotten PVCs. We might even put a registration desk outside so that when we notice you have gotten it, we'll register. So we do our own sub-registration. And then we know how many people are still without covering. We'll pray for them and counsel them and rebuke where necessary. We are no longer going to stand on the sidelines. Are you with me? We were in corruption when I was a little boy. I've married. I have beards. Now it's white. The Lord will bring us deliverance in this time. May the Lord bless us all in Jesus' name. Hey, somebody saying, Pastor has brought politics to the pulpit. You have not studied the North before. And I speak in parables. So politics has always been on the pulpit. It's just that now we are more bold because destiny is at stake. May the Lord give you understanding. Amen. All right, turn your Bible. Welcome to June Contact. This is a holy convocation of the Spirit, and God wants to take us higher and higher in Jesus' mighty name. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Meanwhile, our campaign and our fight is not just, our objective is not just a presidential election. Because I'm wondering what will happen to Benue State if we have a bad leader for another 8 years. Hallelujah. All the possible good leaders for Benue State are in this hall, and none of them is taking a stand. So we have decided, that we'll no longer keep quiet. We kept quiet and we have white hair now. This is our last stand, and the Lord will back us up. In the name of Jesus. All right. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. The person in charge of the council, can you give me a little base? Because I know you are not listening to the sound, and I understand that. But there's no base in my presentation. James chapter 1, beginning from verse number 17. James number 1, chapter number 1, beginning from verse number 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I've been meditating on this scripture since morning. I even went to my wife. I said, what's the meaning of this scripture? First thing I need to draw to your attention is the use of the word good and the use of the word perfect. We need to understand what is meant when the Bible says every good gift. If you check the word that was translated good in the Greek Bible, the best translation would have been useful. Because every gift that God gives has a use. The Bible says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Anytime the Holy Ghost is manifested, there is a profit that is attached to that manifestation. Those days when I was still a resident in the city of Abuja, in order for me to go home, because I didn't have a car, so, and our office was in Metama, and if you're going to go from Metama to Life Camp, you need to pass through Wuse. So Wuse was a hotspot for all kinds of products. And there was one day when I came to Wuse looking for public transport that would take me towards Life Camp area, Life Camp Junction. A major crowd was gathered, and I wanted to find out what attracted the attention of so many people all at once. And when I went close, there was this guy that had a couple of snakes, and he knew how to give command to the snakes to obey him. He was doing magic. And the reason why Satan could empower someone to make a display of the power that is under his hand is because Satan is given to advertisement. God is not. Satan can manifest power just to show you that he has power. God never does that with his own spiritual resources. There is a use that is attached to any spiritual thing that God makes available. So first of all, the Bible says every useful gift, and the word perfect there for your information is ancient English, which means mature. Oh, you're not with me. Are you with me? All right. So every useful gift and every gift that has arrived at the point of maturity. Are you with me? You know, in 1994, that was the first time I realized that I had a teaching gift. See, I had a teaching gift. And I believe God transferred it to me from my pastor. I served my pastor. He's a teacher. And I loved him so much. And after a while, I discovered that I also had the ability, the logic, the wisdom to teach and to bring things that are hidden from the scriptures to the hearts of men. I found that that ability was factored in my life. But you see, even though I had that ability and it was useful in its crude state, the best that the ability has capacity to give will be manifested when I become mature in the gift. So the first thing that is spoken about in this scripture is the progression from realizing that the concentration of the grace of God on your life has the ability to produce some benefit that the body of Christ can draw from. Right? So that point when you maximize and you take the possibilities of that gift into higher levels of excellence because the gift has come to the point of maturity. So when we settle, I want to just do an introduction using this verse of scripture. But when we settle, then I will take my time to explain to us the kind of things that are obtainable when the realization of a certain dimension of the workings of God is rooted in your regenerated human spirit, and the labor that is involved in transforming that gift to becoming something that is mature, that is delivering the expectation of God, the kind of expectation that God had before he gave you that gift. Let me use a particular example before we proceed. The Bible speaks about Nimrod, for instance. And the Bible says that Nimrod began to be a mighty one in the earth. Are you there? But there's no scripture in the Bible that reveals that Nimrod actually became mighty. Meanwhile, the Bible says that Jotham became mighty because he prepared his way before the Lord. You can have an investment of the grace of God upon your life, and you begin to realize a level of usefulness of that endowment that you carry. The fact that it is useful does not mean it carries all the potentials as God intended. You will still need to be diligent to ensure that you grow that gift to a point of maturity. That's when the maximal utility of that investment begins to find expression. If you are still with me, say amen. Your amen was dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So the Bible says that every useful gift and every mature gift is from above. It gives us insight into the source of that gift, and it comes down from a certain personality that is above. And the Bible calls him the Father of Light. You know, we are looking at the topic, the gifts from heaven. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, not just from everywhere above, because there are also demons that are domiciled in heavenly places. And so there was a need to clarify the above in this scripture. And the scripture went further to say that the source of this gift is rooted in a personality, and the identity of that personality is that he is the Father of Lights. Have you ever read this scripture? Because I know this scripture is a very common scripture. Ever read it before? So have you ever pondered on what the Bible means by the Father of Lights? Never pondered on it. The Father of Lights. Who can help me from the congregation? What does the Bible mean by addressing God the Father as the Father of Lights? Meanwhile, how is light or lights, how is it related to gifts that come from heaven? The source of every good gift, the source of every perfect gift is from the Father of Lights. Now, we are going to do a study quickly in order to understand what the Bible means by the Father of Lights. The first time the Bible speaks about light is in creation. But light in the first decree of God is in the singular. Let there be light. The first time when lights is in the plural is in the book of Genesis chapter 1 from verse number 14, if I'm not mistaken. Genesis chapter 1 from verse number 14. Father of lights. He's the one that he operates by light. He is light and operates by light. So in order for him to begin the endeavor of creation, he had to set up his workstation. And the first thing that he called into being to create an atmosphere for work was light. And even though he had set in motion the manifestation of light, meanwhile, that first light that manifested in the book of Genesis did not come from the sun. It didn't come from the moon. So where did it come from? Father of lights. If you ask me, I would say it came from him. Because if we go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 21, you are going to see that the sun and the moon will no longer be needed. Because he himself is going to be the light of that city. So in the book of Genesis, you see that God cannot walk except there is light. When he sets up his workstation, the first thing that he brings into manifestation so that he can walk is light. And you might also need to understand that the first thing that God did to you, we were darkness, according to the scriptures. So the first thing that God did to us, in order for him to be able to walk in us and walk through us, according to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 6, the Bible says, it is God who caused the light to shine out of darkness that has shone from our heart. See, the way light shined in the book of Genesis chapter 1 was not that... Are you there? You are not there. There is one noise here that I don't like. Come and check for the noise quickly. Now listen. According to the book of Genesis, the light that came into the darkness of Genesis did not shine into it. The light that came into the darkness of the book of Genesis, it shined from within the darkness. Just like you, your heart was dark. And the moment you turned to the Lord and believed in him and confessed him, that your heart that was darkness, in the midst of that darkness, the light of God is sprung forth. So the Bible says that the same God that caused the light to shine out of darkness, it is he that has shined in our hearts. In order for God to bring the realities of the new creation, the first thing that he did is that he launched an illumination. He made your heart luminous so that you could begin to discover things that can never be manifested except by light. For the Bible says light is that which makes manifest. So if you are trying to hide sin, when light comes, what it does is that it exposes it. Anything that makes manifest, the Bible says that thing is called light. And the Bible calls our Father, it calls our God, the Father of what? Light. So you see, in his creative enterprise in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 to 18, you see his intent. His intent was revealed in verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, and days and years. The lights that are supposed to function in the firmaments of the heavens, their original intention, their original purpose was not illumination, but to fragment times and seasons and days and years for the purpose of reference. It is the lights that are suspended in the heavens that is responsible for seasons. You get that, number one? Okay, go to 15. And let there be for lights in the firmaments of heaven. You see, first role of those lights is seasons. Second purpose of it is now to give light. Let them be for lights in the firmaments of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Now, from verse 16, we're going to implementation. Yeah? Can you go to 16 quickly? Oh, my God. Sorry, my media people. I will no longer depend on them. Let me just open my Bible. Verse number 16. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Can you underline rule? Rule. So the light, and I checked it into the original language, and it was still governed, it was still ruled, it was still dominion. It means that there is a light that is designed by God with which you rule the day. If you have access to light, you will rule the day. If you have access to light, you will rule the night. Have you ever seen that scripture says that the entrance of his word, it does what? It gives light. And it gives understanding to the simple. This is the organic experience of the reception of light. Before I could come here to preach to you, I've been in prayers looking for the scripture that the anointing of God will rest upon to communicate the counsel of God. And I kept praying, 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 I kept praying. My understanding all the while was unfruitful until somewhere in the afternoon this scripture popped up in my spirit and I picked it up from the Bible. You see, the organic experience of your of the entrance of his word gives light is that when God wants to communicate to you, meanwhile, the communications of God are not things that you can suggest in your mind. They are not things that you can stumble upon because you are reasoning so sharp. It must be handed out to you from the Lord. So the reason why we wait on the Lord is so that the Lord can hand out to us the things that are beyond our sense of reasoning. So that scripture popped up on my heart. That's what the Bible means, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, the eyes of your heart being flooded with light, suddenly occurs to you in your heart that this is the present revelation position of the Spirit. It means that this our God that we are talking about, he operates by light. Anytime he operates, light must be involved. And the role of light is that it has capacity to make manifest. Are you still with me? So anytime you were not thinking about something, you were not singing about it, you were not contemplating it, and it just comes upon your heart, it means that the eyes of your heart have been flooded with illumination. It means that it was handed out to you. That is the organic experience of being a partaker of the dividend of light. The Bible says that the entrance of his word, it gives light. And that light is so strong enough that it carries your mind along and it gives understanding also to your mind. It gives you a different thought frequency. It gives you a different diet for contemplation. It gives you something to think about. And as you think about it, it begins to flood your heart. That's the proof that you have stumbled on light. And our God, and according to this scripture, light has capacity to empower you to rule. Light has capacity to empower you to rule either in the day or in the night. Whether it is convenient, whether it is not convenient, whether there is grace, or whether demons are attacking you, light is the ingredient that is needed to ensure that you navigate smoothly. And so the Bible says that the lesser light was designed to rule the night, and the greater light was designed to rule the day. So God is expecting us to operate by light, because he had to set up his workstation in light before he began the creative enterprise. He's the father of light. Number two, in the book of Exodus, and I believe that Exodus chapter 28, beginning from verse 30, you will find that when the high priest is being adequately decked with his regalia of priesthood, there are some equipment that are handed out to him. And part of the equipment that the high priest needs in order for him to be able to adequately ascertain what is on the heart of God is what we call the Urim and the Thummim. The Urim and the Thummim. Now, the Urim and the Thummim, how do they operate? They operate by light. The Urim is as clear as crystal. Are you with me? The Thummim has a black color. It's like onyx. The Urim is made of precious stone. The Thummim is made of precious stone. It's just that the Thummim is as black as onyx, and the Urim is as clear as diamond. And so when the chief priest wants to consult God on issues that are not articulated in the law, say, should I go to Kasinala or not? Then light comes through the stones. If light comes through the Urim, which is the stone that is as clear as diamond, it means yes. If light comes through the tumim, which is the stone that is as black as onyx, it means no. But you see, that level of consulting God is operational only because of light. Are you with me? The reason why I went through these two scriptures is to show you that God does not operate except in an atmosphere of light. God himself is light, and he operates by light. And that's why he set up his workstation in Genesis with light. And he also wants you to be a being that walks in light. I will show you the call that God has given us, a call to walk in light, because he is light. He operates by light. If you are going to know him, you need to understand the manifestation of God as light. In his manifestation as light, he makes things manifest that you cannot know by any other means except by an act of God through the spirit of wisdom and revelation that facilitates the knowledge of him. Are you still with me? So, God is called the Father of lights. He is light. He operates by light. Are you with me? But the scripture we are reading calls God the Father of lights. And I need to explain to you why the lights in that scripture is in the plural. Are you still here? Now, when we were trying to set up this place, the light experts came from Lagos. We bought these lights from the U.S., ordered them from the U.S., and then they came into this place. When the light experts came, they were trying to mount the lights. I was asking them questions to know what they were doing. First of all, they said, we need to put a carrier this way. We need to put a carrier at the back. We need to put a carrier at the left-hand side. We need to put a light carrier at the front. Now, the position of all the carriers you are seeing in this hall were arrived at by calculation, knowing the intensity of the light that was bought for the purpose. Are you following me? You are not following? Stay with me. So, I asked them, hey, almost all the places I preached, we don't have lights coming from the side, and there's no light overhead, and there's no light at the back. So, why are you wasting our light? Why did you ask us to buy too much light when what we need is just light in the front that will just bring illumination on the guy on the stage so that the cameras can pick the image, a very treated image that we can transmit all over the world? They say, Pastor, part of our challenge in setting up lights is to ensure that the lights are in the proper position and they have the correct intensity to be able to blot out every darkness that is shadow created. And the reason for the light is not just to make me visible, because you are going to be visible under even this white light. The reason for the light is to ensure that every form of darkness, e.g. shadow, is blotted out. I say, huh? So that's why we need to put side lights by your right hand side. That's why we need to put some lights by your left. That's why we need to put lights on your head. That's why we need to put lights behind you and put lights in front of you so that we can achieve what? Oh, this my class is weak. You guys have not been around. You have not been around. Because we want to blot out every trace of darkness. So if the project is to blot out darkness, then we will need light. Not just light. Let there be light. No. If we want to blot out darkness, it will be lights. So our Father is called the Father of Lights. It means all the angles of illumination are present in Him, because in Him there is no darkness at all. You see, when you journey in life, faith is born on your heart. Fear and doubt, they come through your mind. It is based on the analysis of your mind that you become a victim of fear, a victim of doubt. But God's operating platform, His talmak, is your heart. And when God floods your heart with light, because the word of His has entered into your heart, are you there? It blots out every form of darkness whatsoever. And Satan knows that if you have that level of illumination around your life, you are likely to fulfill God's plan. So what he needs to do is to bring darkness through your thoughts. So Satan's field of operation is your mind. The Lord's field of operation is your heart. And many things that the Lord speaks through your heart, Satan can blot out effectively if you will let him, by subscribing to the thoughts that he raises in your mind. I was teaching in Abuja, and I was trying to make the congregation understand the texture of the voice of God. The voice of God has a texture. You see, so God came into the garden and met Adam. And said to Adam, the Bible says that God put Adam in the garden that he had created to dress the garden and to keep the garden. And I said that the first sign that you have come in contact with the voice of God is that you become acquainted with your purpose. The voice of God gives direction. For the Bible says that the word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When we say it's a lamp unto my feet, it means it gives me immediate illumination for the things around my life in the current estate. When we say a light for your path, it means it gives us visibility into the future. Because when you begin to have deep intercourse with God, He will not only arm you with His word, He will arm you with what is coming in the future. He will not only arm you with His word concerning the things of the present, He will also give you an insight into the future, because the word has capabilities to become a light for your path. Are you still with me? So Adam was given purpose because he was exposed to the voice of God. The reason for which he was placed in the garden was to keep the garden and to dress the garden. And there was no way Adam would have known that except he had interacted with the voice of God. Are you there? Second symptom that showed the texture of the voice of God was that the Lord spoke to Adam and told him that in the day of every tree in the garden you can freely eat, but the tree that is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The second thing that the voice of God does is that it administers the restraint of government. Are you there? And I told them in Abuja, as I want to tell you in Makurdi, that God will not kill all the beautiful ladies in Makurdi because of you. So the things that will tempt you, they are still, they'll be here till you become old. But the proof that you have heard God is that you administer restraint, even though there's a pull, there's a suggestion, there is a call, there's an advertisement for you to trespass the commandments of the law. If you want to be under the government of God, you are going to administer restraint. When you find a man that is in the midst of corruption and refuses to be corrupt, God has spoken to him. That's the only reason why he applies restraint. A man that has opportunity to be a rolling stone and decides to be a righteous man is a proof that God has spoken to him, because you will see him apply what? Restraint. It means that he has accepted Jesus as his king, and it is the wish of his king that has made him bridle his capacities so that he can remain in compliance and in alignment. Are you there? I say, are you there? Then in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, Satan now speaks. So in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, beginning from verse 14, we see God speaking. And then we learn one or two things from the way God speaks, the texture of God's voice. You go to Genesis chapter 3, you see Satan speaking. First of all, I told them in Abuja that the first thing you must notice about the voice of Satan is that Satan did not have any original instruction for Adam or Eve. Because Satan came into the garden and he asked a question. He said, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? It means Satan's discussion with you is going to be based on what God discussed with you. The reason why Satan will be discussing with you based on what God discussed is so that he can remove the bondage of his government and give you the liberty to become lascivious, to freestyle, to operate without restraint. That is his mission. Satan's objective, are you there? Is to get you to apply your mind more than your heart. Because the moment Satan finished to communicate with Eve, Eve began an analysis. She saw, and the woman said unto, no, go to verse 3. Go to verse 4. This is Satan now trying to disabuse the woman from the absoluteness of the counsel of God. He said, in the day that you eat of this fruit, in dying, ye shall surely die. And Satan begins to run a commentary on what God has said. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall become wise. So Satan is administering a product. He's advertising a product, sorry. And the product Satan is advertising is a product that humankind cannot know except humankind is willing to have an experiential form of knowledge. Just like in the Bible, you hear something called fornication. God wants you to know fornication intellectually. He doesn't want you to know it experientially. Are you still with me? So Satan is advertising a knowledge that can only be gotten if they eat of that fruit. That is experiential knowledge. You will eat first. It is your experience of the fruit that is going to give you access to this possibility. And God is trying to shield you from this possibility because he doesn't want you to have this kind of knowledge. So Satan has created a lust in the heart of man for something that God doesn't desire for man. Is that clear? The first thing he did was that he disabused the absoluteness of God's word and God's government. Then he advertised a product which will be gotten by an adventure in experience upon a departure from the counsel of God. It means that man is going to wander out of the regions of grace in search of this thing that Satan is advertising. Are you with me? Now, I want you to see the effect of this counseling. 6. And when the woman saw, this is an analysis process. The counsel that God spoke that counsel in their heart. Because that's the platform of God's activity. Did you get that? But the counsel that Satan spoke is activating an analytical process, a thought process, to look, to examine with the resources of the human mind. So Satan wants to pedestal your mind as the most authoritative organ in your inner system. Meanwhile, God wants to pedestal the activities of your heart as the most authoritative organ in your inner system. Eve has gone on an analysis procedure. A woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. All of this is analysis. So Satan has gotten Eve where he wants her. She's operating from the mind. And that's the source of doubt. That's the source of fear. And Satan had gotten the woman. You see, when the Father of Lights ministers to you, it blots out fear. Because it is light from every angle. It creates a confidence. It creates a conviction. It creates an assurance. These are the indicators that suggest that you encountered God. If after the encounter you have assurance, you have conviction, you have resolve, then it is God you encounter. But somebody said he had a dream the other day that Satan came with a fork. And Satan made such a flight, such an impossible flight around her. By the time she was present for counseling, there was no scripture I quoted that was stronger than the image of Satan in that flight. You see, what has happened is that God, are you there? Satan has successfully taken this woman from her heart. She's now in her mind. And the Bible says that they that forsake, what? They that observe lying vanities, they forsake their mercy. She would have entered into the message of God if she had believed the Lord. But Satan brought a dramatic appearance, and that dramatic appearance was, it consolidated, it was superior to what God was doing in the heart. So that's where fear now came from. Because she was leaning on resources that were operational on the mind. That's where fear came. That's where doubt came. And she could no longer believe in the word of God that has the ability to settle the turbulence that is in your soul. She became a victim. We try to use the word of God. This thing that we are talking about had exalted itself above the word of God. So the word of God did not have any authority with her anymore. We try to use prayer. So I saw that I was helpless, and I don't waste my time. When I see that my bullets can't work, we even in the court they adjourn. We have to press for adjournment quickly. It's not everybody. Please help me tell your neighbor. It's not everybody God can help. And if God is going to help you, he's going to come as light. He's the Father of light. That's his method. Meanwhile, don't get me wrong. The purpose of this weekend's conference is to show you the gifts of heaven. But I need to first show you the one who is the source of the gifts. And the Bible in this context refers to him as the Father of lights. So the light expert that came here began to teach me the doctrine of lights, not light. See, the reason why we need to put light by this time, this one is going to make your shadow long. This way. Oh, yeah, are you there? Then this one will blot it out so that we cancel. Then the one at the back, the one directly on your head, will create a very short shadow. And then the one at the back, we do what? It will cancel. Then this, your front own, as you have always known, will be the one that will give you the glossy feel. My golden frame now.
May the Lord give you understanding. You will need light to blot out darkness. The gifts that God gives from heaven. Are you there? They are gifts that can only work by light, not by darkness. Because it is the Father of lights that is giving those gifts. It is suggestive of the fact that the mechanism that makes them work, makes them effective, is lights. And whenever you see lights in the plural, it is designed to cut off every form of darkness. I believe that this weekend, that the Lord will do damage to the darkness. Maybe there's an image of darkness that has been able to find itself around your corridor. God will manifest as the Father of lights, and he will do damage to every darkness. No matter how minute, he will do damage to it in the name of Jesus. Now, there was a little description of the Father of lights in this scripture, and two words were employed to establish this description. First word that was employed is variableness. This our Father of lights, the Bible says in him there is no variableness. I need to explain that. Second is shadow of turning. How many of you know that when it is 12 noon, are you there? Your shadow is very short. And then when it is 3:35, your shadow is longer. It means that the angle from whence the light comes changes. So in the light of the sun, we have a phenomena called variableness. And that's what determines the height of your shadow. Your shadow is short by 12 noon. The illustration that comes from the light and the darkness that is casted by 12 noon is small darkness. By 3:35, it is long darkness because the position of light has shifted. So it gives another reference to the darkness. So the first thing that God is saying to us is that variableness that is responsible for shadows of turning do not exist in God. I need to spend little time to explain this. Satan is the one in whom there is variableness. Satan has no fixed point of operation. Satan cannot be reliable because terms and conditions keep changing. He will tell you, if you give me your first daughter, you are going to, this is what will happen. And then you give. And then he now say, I forgot to tell you that there was an additional clause. It was a hidden clause. And it's now being invoked in the contract. And everyone that followed Satan ended at the point of regret because of the variableness of Satan. Satan is not fixed. Now, in God, the Bible says there is no variableness, and that's why in him there is no shadow of turning. So when we talk about the Father of lights, he is... are you there? The reason why there is even... you still have shadows 12 noon when light is at its intensity is because the light of the sun is not perfect. But in God, light comes from all angles and it chokes out every darkness. And God is operating at full intensity at every time. There is no slack in intensity that will create the privilege for shadows to show. Is that clear? Now I need to show you two scriptures quickly in order to make you understand before we now go to the gifts that this personality that operates in light, in whom there is no variableness and shadow of turning, the gift that he gives. All of those gifts operate by light. I now need to take you on a journey, and then you will now see that God is not so difficult to find. Not so difficult to find. If you think it's difficult to find, it was the devil's whisper that you heard. In God, there is no variableness. It means you can trust him. The way he operated with Abraham, he has not changed. If you even follow Abraham's example and you do what Abraham did, you will get the results he got. Because in God, you are the one that is the variable, that the one that doubts, that sins, that runs away, that lies. You are the one that, in fact, we are the unreliable part, members of this covenant. In him, there is no variableness. In him, there is no darkness at all. The intensity of the light and the multidimensional nature of his spread is so perfect. The intensity is so brilliant that there is no accommodation for darkness. What? At all. Are you there? All right, let me show you something quickly. And my scripture for trying to explain that aspect is in the book of Hebrews. Are you there in Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 16 to 19. I need to show you something quickly. In him there is no variableness. He said, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heir of promise the immutability of his counsel, the unchanging nature, the permanency of his counsel, he confirmed it with an oath. God gave a promise, but he wanted to show us the immutability of his counsel, and that he will not change his mind. He now went further to give us an oath. There was no need for God to do that for that thing of giving us an oath. Because if God gave you a promise, because he's a God of fidelity, his promise is as good as his covenant. But we don't know him, just like Abraham didn't know him. So God had to do something in addition to giving Abraham a promise in order to make Abraham able, capable of believing that God will not change. It is not as if the oath was needed. It was because Abraham, without the oath, we think God can change his mind. So God went a step further to make an oath. Are you there? I said, are you there? So, in practicality, God's promise is equal to God's oath because of God's fidelity. But God had to make an oath to make Abraham believe. So the reason why God restricted himself, went many steps further, was so that we could have faith in the arrangement he was making. That it was immutable. It was not subject to change. He confirmed it with an oath. Next scripture. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. The effect of this commitment that God is making is to bring us to a point of strong consolation. That means my God can never change. How many of you have been brought to a point where you feel defeated, you feel outlawed, you feel estranged? Those are symptoms that find expression because you have been dealt with by the devil. The Bible says concerning the Lord that in him there is no variableness. There is no change in contract. My friend paid for a house. They say he should bring 10% of the whole sum and then he will pay for 10 years. So he rushed there and gave them 10%. They signed the agreement. But he was not told that there was an interest rate, an invincible interest rate that was running in the background. So he kept releasing the amount, and then when it was the 90th, he was hoping to release that same sum and then be free of the burden of the debt. He was called for a board meeting. And he was told that for Every aspect of the money that was left, there was an interest running to mitigate against inflation and to mitigate against volatility of the naira. That was where his heart problem started from. Because of the variable. Variableness. But in God, you have no need to have heart problem because he's not capable of variableness. His counsel is immutable because it is supported by a promise and confirmed by an oath. Somebody sent me a message that, hey, Satan, we saw Satan came and he killed you. It's not me, you saw. My faith is not based on your prophecy. You can use your WhatsApp to chat anything you want, but you know what? I am in league with him in whom there is no variableness. That is, oh my God, you don't know. Go take that prophecy to the trash can. I know how long I will live. It's not sickness that will take me out of here. It is a voice of God, an act of God that will take me out. See, it's demons. What demons? You know what I've seen? I've gone far in God. I've seen him. I've gone far. If you have seen what I've seen, you will not believe such things. Say that one demon came from River Benue. He said, aya, aya, aya. See the psychiatrist. I believe in a God in whom there is no variableness. Neither is there any shadow of turn. If you are still with me, say amen. Oh my God. Someone did something and you have been weeping. You have been weeping. You made that person your God. And that's why any move the person takes, it affects you. That person is an idol in your heart. You need to kill that idol. My deal is with God. My deal is with Jesus Christ. You know how many times Satan has tried to kill me? In the midst of the attack, I talked to him. I said, the last time I checked, you are short of resources. Your manpower is deficient. You would have, there are other places you can go and you will make some profit. Not with me. There's no profit here. Because I am in league with him with who there is no variable. No shadow of turning. And by two immutable things wherein it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong consolation. If you are in this assembly tonight and your position about what God has told you doesn't arrive at the corridor of a strong consolation, you are a product of deceit. Satan has done over time on your life. Strong consolation. A strong consolation. A strong consolation. I will not do anything except God speaks. The moment he speaks, that's all. I don't look at the bank account. I move. The money meets me on the road because he spoke. And his promise is as good as his covenant because I know his fidelity. The Father of lights, he is our God. So when I've finished explaining about the Father of lights, then I will show you the gifts that he gives from above. There is no gift that the Father of Light gives from above that any darkness can resist. I tell you this by experience. I tell you this by revelation. It is because you don't know the Father of Light. That's why you don't have confidence in the resources he makes available from heaven. He said, we may have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. It means that if you have come to a point where you know that God, the counsel of God is immutable, then you have reason to hope. And that hope will not make you ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Did you get that? Number two. Number two, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29. I'm talking about the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither any shadow
of turning.
And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. Are you there? Oh my God, you are not there. He said the strength of what? Of Israel will not lie. That's one. The strength of Israel will not change his mind, for he is not a man that he should repent. Oh, that's a terrible remark about men. It means men lie and men repent. That's the way of men. But the strength of Israel, he will not lie. He will not repent, for he is not a man. Please help me tell you, tell your neighbor, tell the person sitting by your side, the strength of Israel, he will not lie. He will not repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. No variableness. No shadow of turning. The terms and conditions never change. They didn't change for Abraham. They didn't change for Isaac. They will not change for you. Oh, there is a darkness you are going through right now. The Bible says he made a light available for darkness. It's called the moon. And if you can access the light that is available for your season of darkness, that light will rule over the night. It will rule over the night. It was in South Africa. The Lord spoke to me and he said I should give a command. And when I gave the command, people began to fall in the hall. And by the leading of the Lord, I went to one lady and I touched her. The moment I touched her, she screamed. And the demon that was operating inside of her spoke through her vocal cord. I said, "Who are you?" You know, when she said, "Who are you?" I became interested. I instantly became interested. I was not too interested before, but she asked a question. "Who are you?" "Because I am the serpent from the river of Zimbabwe." You know, I became too interested in that matter. Iyakoma. Iyamama. Unknown to the serpent of the river of Zimbabwe, the God who cannot lie, he met me. And he told me that nothing that lies on the continent of darkness, that is forged by the wisdom of the devil, can destroy you. So the moment she said that, she didn't know that, hey, she had provoked a covenant. And the immutable, the one, the strength of Israel, that cannot lie. We were going to see another opportunity for him to manifest his immutability. What did you see that made you escape? You ran away. Because suddenly you no longer believe in the Father of Lies. And the argument that Satan was presenting to you became superior to that which you saw, because light made it manifest. The name of my God is the Father of Lights. And he is the one that gives useful gifts and mature gifts. There are two givings that he does. The first release of that gift. And then he is there also till when the gift becomes mature. He's the one that gives good gifts and perfect gifts. Because he comes from above. He comes from the Father of Light, in whom there is no variableness, neither is there any shadow of turning. And the strength of Israel shall not lie. Strength of Israel shall not lie. Strength of Israel shall not lie. I was ministering, still in that same meeting, and one young man came from the back. He was wild. He was violent. He opened his eyes like this. He was looking for an opportunity to come and devour me. But you know what? His activity, his action, he was hyperactive. His hyperactivity did not shake the foundation of my conviction in the strength of Israel. For the reason for which he gave an oath to support his promise was so that we could have a strong consolation. We fled for refuge to take hold of the hope that is set before us. And as I stand under that canopy, holding on to the word that he has spoken to me, heaven and earth can pass away. But that word that he has spoken will never pass away. It will not pass away in time. It will not pass away in eternity. The strength of Israel, he cannot lie. If you are still here, say amen to that. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. There is no variableness. His intensity does not wane. There's no change in the variables that will give Satan and darkness an advantage. He holds steady in intensity. He holds steady in his contract. He holds steady in the terms and conditions of his covenant. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He said, had he said it, it means his word is his bond, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God is not a man. God is not a man. I went for prayer while I was in Benue State University. 5 a.m. in the morning. And the Lord said something to me. He said, my son, I know you will not believe he spoke, but he spoke. Say, my son, take a look at your class. I will make you greater than everyone is sitting in that place. You know, I was a young prophet then. You have to understand that. I came to the class early in the morning. After that encounter, I came to the class. I said, the Lord spoke to me. Yeah, you need to understand that I was still a young prophet. That all of you here, I'm going to be greater than all of you. Do you know some people hated me till I graduated? What did you do? Meanwhile, at the end of the day, when we were graduating, I was not the best student. So they now said, this is your prophecy. This is God, the strength of Israel. He shall not lie. Many of you, God spoke to you sometime in your life and you kept it on your shelf, wrote it in your diary. It is not a force in your heart right now. The devil has given you another path to chart, another course to walk in. A course that is shrouded by deception and by darkness. It is only when you wander from the corridors of the Lord that Satan becomes a factor in your space. Because in him, there is no variableness. In him, there is no shadow of tongue. So when the Lord gives gifts that is from above, he gives them as the father of what? Of light. Oh, so tomorrow we'll start the conference proper. This is an introductory night just for you to understand the scope of the engagement. Then I will show you things that Satan cannot stop. The things never came from the earth. They are not subject to satanic manipulation. They derive from heaven. They operate from heaven. They have heavenly impact. They create heavenly effect. And as long as you are operating in them, there is no variable of earth that is needed to come into the equation to make it prosper. But you know what? You must believe that in him there is no variableness. That is what you must believe, that no shadow turning. Many of you in this congregation, you have not been a concern to the devil. I have. And I've met people in strange places, in airports, that came to speak Satan's message to me. One came and called me an animal. He said, "We kill you." He never knew what he played with. The same hand is stretched. That hand must wither before he eventually dies. It was an abomination. You don't fight light. It doesn't have an elbow where you will hold. It doesn't have a waist where you will compromise. I told Satan that it's all of us that came on board. We didn't hide anyone at home because we know we will not lose. There's no plan B. We fight to finish. Because the one on whose side we fight, in him there is no variableness. In him there is no shadow of turning. For the strength of Israel shall not lie. Are you here, a young lady? And maybe you think that because of your age you cannot get married. I have seen people 56. I've seen one 66. A virgin at 66. There's no variableness. If indeed you have a strong consolation that the strength of Israel is your defense, he will come in his own time. He is majestic. So he will not come with your time. He will not come with your schedule. He will not come with your timetable. But indeed he will come. He says, "Say to them that are of a weary heart, the Lord cometh. He will come and save you." Where is your consolation? Where is your conviction? Because the strength of Israel comes. And I say this to you as a prophecy. God is coming to Nigeria. He's coming. The strength of Israel. We waited for him for many generations. In intercession. We didn't even know that he would answer our prayers in our lifetime. But we know this for sure. That the strength of Israel, he shall not lie. And the signs that we have seen in recent times has suggested to us that the drama, the great drama, will take place in our lifetime. Oh, great days. Don't die. Please tell your neighbor this is not time to die. The story of how the strength of heaven did damage to Pharaoh of Egypt. It will be told again with new characters. Characters that have new names. Because the strength of Israel shall not lie. I want to read a scripture to you. This is the thus saith the Lord to you tonight. It just came into my spirit, so I need to find the scripture. Okay, this is a house of scholars, so you can help me. That scripture that I quoted, say to them that of a weary heart, the Lord cometh, he will come and save you. Yeah? What? Isaiah chapter what? 35. Okay, let's try that. Verse what?
Isaiah what? 35 verse number 4. Okay. Let me get there. 35, 4.
Okay, let's begin from verse 3.
Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. This, I'm prophesying to you now. Because the heart of many of us have become feeble because of the abominations and the atrocities that have taken place in the territory.
Yeah, next verse.
Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way that is called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but he shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein.
There is a pathway that God is going to open up. So there's hope for the lame. There's hope for the blind. There is hope for the weary. Because the strength of Israel,
he shall not lie.
I know you waited, but you will wait a little more and see salvation. Because from the hills, from the wilderness, from the swamps and the deserts, healing will come for the nation. Healing will come to the land. The Lord cometh, the Bible says. And so, let him that is dumb sing, for salvation comes to us from the hand of our God, him who is the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither is there any shadow of turning. What I did tonight is to give us an introduction into the one that is handing out resources from heaven, and by these resources he wants to galvanize your life on earth, and nothing on earth can challenge the power and potency of the resources in form of gifts that he will give to us to cause us to thrive in the season of darkness, in the season of parchedness, in the season of drought. Rise on your feet as we call upon him.
Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense. He will come to Nigeria with vengeance. He will come with recompense, with payments. There are some family lines that will be receiving payments until the end of time. Because they stole from generations. And by generations will judgment comes from heaven upon those families. They stole from nations. For the hand of our king will do justice. Judgment and equity will be made manifest. We want to pray tonight. It's a declaration of our our faith in the Lord. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I choose never to be of feeble heart in these times. I choose never to be weak in these days. For my confidence in the Father of lights, it blossoms and it bursts. I am fully persuaded about the intents of the Lord. And I know that the thoughts of the Lord concerning me perpetually are thoughts of good and not of evil. Can you banish every fear on your soul and step into faith tonight? Because the strength of Israel, he shall not lie. The strength of Israel, he shall not lie. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Redemption is near, and we proclaim it on the mountaintop. Let no man's heart fail him. Salvation comes. Salvation comes. From the mountains, salvation comes. We banish every fear from our soul. These are the days of the strong in the Lord. We step into faith. For God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. He's about to do a work in our days that the ears of them that hear will tingle. The things that he has spoken about your destiny, spoken about your life, he will bring to pass, and you will glorify him. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. For in him there is no variableness, in him there is no shadow of turning. We look to him, our rock, our fortress. He will bring redemption to us. He will bring salvation to our people. Oh my God.
Oh my God. La cosima moro combella manza ike. For the Father of lights, he is light. He dwells in light. He functions by light. And in him there is no darkness at all. You can trust him. You can depend on him. You can rely on him. For in him there is no darkness. 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 No darkness. No darkness. The darkness of our nation, it will fade away. For the Father of lights is about to do great things in our territory. There is no darkness at all. We can trust him. We can have confidence in him. We can depend on him. We can rely on him. Yeah! Soke baba lo presi. Akedo bobo rosa la bacadia. Seminentete. Abrosketo misa cabarantolia. Amama na halatamina cobre. Jai compala mabosoko. Jai combesi ke bande la bonda. Apre ke ke do bobo santa. Apre ke ke lebe do bosike. Abranda babora kasanda. Yeko peli masiko branda baboria. Jemina kapelas. Shanda baboka bata. Apre shanda babola katere. Jemina ito. Apre kanda baboria. Apre kesko teminala. Arama mama mama mama. Asaba kento me. Asaba kata babola mataya. Asemine te kombe. Abrama kizo balabala. Abrama shanda baboria. Yes, we will wait on him. We will trust in his salvation. He is not a man that he should lie. It doesn't matter the current orchestrations of the enemy. We do not look on the works of the devil. We look on the promises of God. We set our gaze on the fidelity of our King. We do not look on the things that Satan is doing. God has spoken a word to us. He has spoken a word to our nation. He has spoken a word to our lives. And he cannot lie. Eso telima kabelaita. Raka belimos. Raka bakande babokota. Raka basheni kombela. Avelis. Avres kombelende. Abrescanta babokotama. Abresemi. Abrecabaso satai. Are you giving up hope? Do you not feel that the devil is in control? No. The Bible says that he is a governor among the nation. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. And it's with him we have a covenant. There is a covenant he has with your life. There's a covenant he has with the land. There's a covenant he has with the nation. He cannot lie. Oh! Sheline Nemokoria. Ate kopi sose naita. Ratakabalada babon seke. Ala mo sakuda, ala mo konda, ala mo sikobre, ala mo katelaba, ala mo siabra, ala mo katelia, asama keda bonde, abranda babolokoya, asina kapalata bababoko, abratelia, abranshata baboya, esubri ala babokoto, ala na 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 na. Sheli mokori abraski topre nobokonde. Ele no kori. Akuba Selimo Cobria la Baba 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 Shanda Baboria Shabina Boria Akababa Latata Ebrahma Kanda Babola Asai Kope Asai Mama Asai Mama Asai Mama Ebrahma Manakata Ebrahma Nasuria la Babonde Shamina Kota Babalaita Ebobre Ketela Suba Latama. The strength of Israel shall not lie. Ie baba lo sante. Rakasube la ba la ba la ba. Aya la 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 la. Aya kabahala. Aya kabahala. Ansa la babata mendolia. Iko belo osia la brone. Arugo bobo sante. Inda bobo rokosketa. Rila babaya. In the name of Jesus.
And the parched ground shall become a pool. Does your life look dry? There is a destiny for those that have been caught up with drought. It said a parched ground. It shall become a pool. I remember many years ago, in order for us to raise 100,000 to buy a generator so that we can have power, it was an object of fasting. The land was parched. Hallelujah. And when you come and look on us in that parchedness, you will not see any destiny, anything at all. May you not accept the doctrine of your circumstances. The doctrine around your situation. May you not accept it. Because in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, we experience a change. So much so that we cannot even remember those parched days. What God will do in your life will do so much damage to your memory of the parched moments. That even if you want to tell a tale, you will no longer have vocabulary. Can we ask for his visitation? Make the dry land a pool. That's a prayer. Make it a pool. Make it a pool. Make it a pool. For you have spoken a word over my life. There is a covenant that is at work. My destiny is kept under the influence of your fidelity. Satan is not in control over my destiny. Make the dry ground a pool. The parched places, make it a pool. A pool of plenty. A pool of grace. Oh my God. Make it a pool. Make it a pool. Make it a pool. Make it a pool. Adonai. 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 You reign on high. We will rise in your name. Adonai, you reign on high. Adonai, 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 you reign on high. We will rise in your name. Adonai. Shelly
will rise in your name, Adonai. You reign on high. We will rise in your name, Adonai. You reign on high. Oh my God. Semine keruba siko brandela ha. Roko siko bena malakadebo. Shamino Kela Ibrahima Kansa Babalato Kiskombe Yeko Balababa Sanda Yeko Seni Bakanda Baboya Abrande Bobokoto Bokotolia Abrande Basuna Abrande Babalakadabaya Abranda Basombre Eska Yeto Minakanda Rayatobe Labasanda Babolokodia Ayabura Masanda Branda Babola Ayama Sika, Ayama Manatata, Ayama Santa Baboria, Ebraka Babata Baba Supre, Asomina Nakai, Abrata Babose, Abrata Basapata Baboria, and Alalalalalalalala. Alabos, you're in on her, you're in on her, you're in on her.
The Bible says that God is the Father of lights. In Him there is no variableness, there is no shadow of turning. The light is in His completeness and absoluteness, that He has no accommodation for darkness. Because I want to ask Him tonight, just in case there is any shade of darkness around anyone's life tonight, it is a taboo for which we need to administer law enforcement, because our God is the Father of lights. That arrangement does not allow demons. In him there is no darkness at all. No darkness. Hallelujah. No darkness, what? At all. For those of us who are mothers, have you seen any form of darkness trying to take root in any of your children? In him, there is no darkness at all. We want to pray finally. And as we pray, if the Lord has intentions to reach out tonight to begin to do damage to darkness, I will know. In him, there is no darkness at all. This is the prayer point. If there is no darkness in you, and I am off you, shine your light, therefore, with so much intensity, so much brightness, that any little ground that Satan has found to set his feet will be totally removed, blotted out. Can you ask him to shine his light tonight? Shine your light. Shine it on my life. Shine it on my family. Shine it on the land of Benue. Shine it on the nation Nigeria. Oh, Father of lights. Oh, Father of lights. Shine forth. Shine forth. Shine forth. Shine forth. Oh, Father of lights. Ego basilo bokondeli. Shine forth. Oh, Father of lights. For indeed there is no variableness. Nothing in you that can cast a shadow. Blot out the darkness. Take away the shadow. Take away that which forms the image of darkness. Blot it out. Cancel it up by your completeness, by the absoluteness of thy reality. Shine forth, O Father of light. Eliab Tommy Sige Mama. Arubina ise kube sike brande korobo santoria. Oh, basigo baba meninele, shine for. Ihudwe in the midst of the cherubim, shine for. Adielo Mosiko Babama. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. Hey! He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. Shine forth. Shine forth. Shine forth. Yakoben in the sick of brandy. Arido sobri vala mama mahanda. Esobina kaito cobre. A peace. A pima mama mama mama. A pima selina kadebobore. I kosi kobre, ama mama 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 mama, ruko sami, ala la la bakuri asia mama.
Oh, he who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He will shine today in your life. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. Yamashiko menakantelia. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth.
I see a demon. A demon with a strange sight. Strange entity. And from what I see and understand by the wisdom of God, this entity is responsible for somebody's miscarriage. Now, if you are a victim of miscarriage once, twice, three times, all of that, can you come here? You are a victim of miscarriage? Come. And come quickly. There's a beast I see. And tonight, this beast will be cut off. This beast will be cut off this time. See a beast. See a beast. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. Oh my God. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim. Why are you there? Why are you there? For your daughter. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. In the midst of the cherubim. Now I'm seeing strange things here. Okay, let's start with this. Oh my God. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. Now, listen to me. Not all of you standing here are experiencing miscarriages by the hand of this entity that I saw. Alright? So the ones among you whose miscarriage is linked to this entity, I'm going to give a command. And you will feel the effect of the command on your body. And the rest of you, I'll pray for your conception and delivery. But we will need to attend to the case that is linked to this entity that I see. So if you are still with me, say amen. Father, we give you glory. give you praise. We thank you. We magnify your name. Today, I want to make a request from you. Any of these ones standing here whose situation is linked to the entity you showed me, let your strong hand descend upon that one for identification, for the purpose of identification. We ask that your strong hand might rest. So that lady, you can bring that lady up stage. Father, is there any other one among these ones standing here whose tragedy is linked to this creature you showed me? For the purpose of identification, I ask, Lord, that your hand might descend on any other one that is implicated by what you showed me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We ask, oh God, that you grant. Let that demon be arrested. Let that demon be arrested. Let that demon be arrested right now. Now, bro, put your hand on this lady with... Yeah, lay hands on her. Be arrested. Be arrested. Be arrested. Be arrested. Be arrested. Be arrested. In the name of Jesus. Pastor Tony, just lay hands on these ones. Let them go. This is the lady I'm looking for. There's a demon. If he touches you, you can get back to your seat. Make sure you receive your baby. Receive your baby. This one, there's a demonic thing, and somebody is using your fetus to service an altar. There is an issue of sacrifice that is going on. And today, we bring the judgment of the Lord. We bring the judgment of the Lord. We bring the judgment of the Lord. We cut off this strange hand. In the name of Jesus. We cut that hand off. Now we give you life. Receive life. Receive life. Receive life. In the name of Jesus. Now listen to me, I'm seeing someone, this person that I'm seeing is lying down on the bed and in a position as if the person is sleeping, and the person is lying with the back on the bed. Then I'm seeing that another person that looks like that person sits up and walks out of the body. That's an out-of-body experience. There is somebody in this congregation, because of the demonic influence around your life, you've had two out-of-body experiences, and you know that those experiences were not divine. They were demonic. I'm waiting for you here. Two out-of-body experiences that you had. Demonic experiences. Pastor Tony, give him the microphone, let him explain his experience, because there is one singular human being I'm looking for. This is a high powered demonic activity that the Lord is showing me. You were lying on your back and another you that was inside of you sat up, walked away from your body. You had the experience twice. The Lord has sent me to ensure that the darkness around your life is blotted out. Are you there? All right, so please, quickly.
All right, sister, can you give me your hand? In the morning during around 5 a.m. or 6.
We can't hear you.
So it's around 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. thereabouts. After praying throughout the night.
2 weeks ago, 1 month ago,
I've been for like 3 months now.
3 months ago. Yeah,
so.
Okay, so she's going to be weak for a moment.
I saw myself.
Wait. Okay, so she will be weak for a moment. Yeah?
So, normally, I've had this experience with severally. And
don't tell me stories. Just go.
It was around 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Yeah. Yeah. That after praying just an hour in the night, when I went back to sleep in the morning time, then I saw my spirit lift out of my body. I was struggling with it, but I could not. And suddenly, when he pushed out, I think one of the times I saw an entity, but I could not fully recognize. And then something pushed you back.
Now, do you know that you were being summoned from a coven? That's what we call the experience of summoning. I don't have time for that. But that's the experience. It means there is a living human being that wants you dead now. Are you there? Okay. Is it so difficult to understand what I'm saying? Fine, of her.
Yes, sir.
So your experience is a summon. Now, the person we have a problem with now is the person that is summoning you. We want to send the person a text message, a WhatsApp message. Okay.
I was actually lying down on the bed with my back.
With your back on the bed, okay?
On the bed. It was actually a mat. I was sleeping on a mat so that I can pray. I just felt like part of me left and went up the ceiling. The second time, when it left like that, I found myself in the village, moving in the village.
Okay, so this is an advanced. He advanced in the summon more than this guy. So the location of the summoner is in the village. Now, some people can go to London, go to New York, and you are in France, Paris. Where is the location where that stuff, that thing is in Paris? You can be standing behind that tower to snap. And instantly, from Egumale, somebody can summon you, your spirit. And I'm not saying that the summoner has all power. It means that there's a leakage somewhere that they exploited to be able to achieve that summon. Right? So we'll deal with the leakage and then we'll send a message to the summoner. Yeah? What happened to this lady?
It was in April.
April?
Yes, sir. I went for an MRI. And right where I was in the machine inside, it's like my spirit, was summoned. Mm-hmm. And this fear gripped me. I could feel it from my toe going out. And then last month...
I don't want to talk to... Okay.
A few weeks back, I noticed it again.
It happened again.
It's like my spirit left and stood like someone was calling me. And within me, I don't want to go, but I don't know
you
how...
You couldn't resist it.
Yes. Right. But I don't know where it first came back and brought me back.
Yeah?
Actually, on Tuesday, it was not myself, it was my sister. I was in the house.
Why are you standing for your sister?
Please let me stand for her, please.
This is a practical. If your sister needed deliverance, you'd have been here. They will never allow her. It means there's something in your sister's life that is superior to her need to leave. When there are terrible situations, there are terrible solutions you need to look for. If you want to play the game as usual, you will be a captive forever. Well. There's mercy today.
Tuesday, I was in the house. Mm-hmm. It's like I came outside. Immediately, I saw my sister standing beside me. And at the same time, other of her spirit was standing on a block at the other side of the wing. Mm-hmm. Before I know it, immediately she sights the spirit there. She just jumped from this side and went to go and meet the other one there. And immediately got to meet the other spirit there. She was just waving me and went to our neighbor direct. That was what happened.
Shine for
See, we are, time has gone today. What I am seeing this night, I've never seen it before. He would dwell in the midst of the cherubim. Do you know that there's somebody in this congregation that an evil spirit was forcing itself to enter into you, and you felt it, you saw it. Where are you? An evil spirit was forcing itself. You? Join them. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim. There is somebody in this congregation, unfortunately, you yielded to a false priest, and the person took you for a ceremonial bath. A false prophet took you for a ceremonial bath. You were baited. Strange soap. In a strange place. That's where your problems began. And I need that person that is a victim of a ceremonial bath. Ceremonial bath. I hope this is not big English. You understand what I'm talking about. A ceremonial bath. There is someone here. You were given a ceremonial bath. Join these people now. These are issues of life. Where is Tony? Find out where that thing took place. What happened?
I went to my friend's house in Lafayette.
In Lafayette?
Yes, when I went for business. That I went to, at least let me start something in life. So when I went to her house, I was like feeling some kind of strange things. And she told me that she's making soap.
She's making soap?
Yes. So when I asked her that, you are making soap, she used to come to me that if I have these containers of soap, I should give to her. So she was not around. I asked the little baby that, please, my friend says she's making a soap. I want to know that how that color of that soap look like. She now went inside and brought the soap. That one was brown. But the one that she gave to me that bathed with it in the night, it was black. And I asked her that, where did you get this soap? She said, it's her husband's soap. And the next day, I asked her that, I need that particular soap that you give me, let me bath. She said, no, it's her husband's soap. And since then, life was like...
Yeah, Pastor Tony, I need, at least two or three cases before we start this business. Jesus. Quickly. Ceremonial bath. Your destiny, you have given your destiny out. The favor on your life has been taken. Yeah, bro? What happened to you?
Many years ago when I was much younger, somebody told my mom in the name of a church that one of our son needs to come and have a birth. It was like a ministry something, and so she took me there. We went there then, and then it was a woman, and she told me where I should take the bath and where I should throw the sponge when I'm done. That was many years back.
Why are you just coming now? Okay. Find out from her. Where did your own take place? What's the location where your own took place?
It was my dad.
Okay, Bob. Where is that? Ondo State.
My own took place at Cross River. I was ill, so my dad told me that he was going to take me to a place where they will heal me. So when we got there, the man take me to one shrine when I said that they need to bath me so that I would get myself. So he said I should off my clothes to this extent. I off it like this, and he fetched the water and was pouring it on my head.
Your man has taken. Your journey has been taken. Okay. Pastor Dan is pointing. Take. Some of you don't want to come out. We can't help you if you despise the revelation of the law. You cannot be helped. What I'm seeing now, I need to ask God if it's true, because
I say I've not seen this kind of thing. That's how people come to church and they are not in church. They don't need help. They came to spectate. Hallelujah. Yes. Sister, what happened? Finally, then we'll begin to pray.
When I was quite little, about six or so, my mom took I and my immediate elder brother to this church, like what it was on a hill. They were like these women that were prophesying over us, and they gave us a bath, they undressed us and gave us a bath
that
on the mountain.
That is divination. Divination. That prophecy is soothsaying, it's not prophecy. And that thing they did was according to the spirit of divination. Now, I know you will not believe me, but someone's destiny in this place has been exchanged. In this place has been exchanged. We will find out today if it is true. So Julian, come here. We'll find out if it's true. Can we pray? Just 10 minutes of prayer, and after 10 minutes of prayer, I will leave the pulpit area. Tomorrow we will continue, and I trust that God will help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we pray in tongues for 2 minutes first, just to check if there's anything the Lord wants to say? Let's give him the opportunity. Let's provide the window. Let's provide the window. Andy Roboboro Fosket. Anda Labrosketo Brace. Varavana Haza. Iko Brantelli. Jigo Balababura Castantani. Mantelo Bros. Yagabola Masiko Prelahis. Jaikam Pelamosi. Oh my God. Oh my God. In the name of Jesus. Now listen. One of you ladies here, it was your womb that was taken when that birth took place. Your womb was taken, but it will be restored anyway. So because I don't know who it is, can you all put your hands here? Because I need that particular, just put your hands here like this. No, only ladies, only sisters. There will be a reaction the moment you put it there. The one whose womb has been taken, there will be a reaction. So bring her upstage. There will be a reaction. There'll be a reaction. Yeah. Your womb will be restored tonight, old sister. Your womb will be restored tonight. Shine for. There is an exchange. A destiny exchange that took place that I see in the spirit is an abomination. Yes, so that sister also, her womb was what they took during the transaction. Ushers, can you bring the lady to me? Just leave your hand on your stomach. Anyone whose womb was taken. Thank you. Now, someone in your midst here, it's your marital life that was taken. So all the sisters, we change the drill. Lay your hand on your head, oh sister. And the one whose marital life was taken, there will be a sign. There'll be a sign. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you help us. Help us in these cases. In these cases. In these cases. In these cases. There is a demon trying to force itself on one of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. If I touch you and you are the one, the Holy Spirit will remain on you. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. So her marital life has been taken. It was a transaction. And family members are aware. It was in order to adorn somebody with favor. They took away your marital life. Today, in the name of Jesus, I ask for judgment on everyone who is party to this transaction. And I demand a release of that which was taken from your life. Let the bitter judgment of the Lord descend on anyone using virtue from your life to drink wine, to extend their fortunes. We speak by the voice of justice. We speak by the empowerment of the Lord. Let the yoke around your life be broken, and let the judgment of the Lord descend upon those that conspired against your destiny. Grace. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Now, can we pray for this lady? Can we pray? I say more babarato. Saike komine shiko bratis kabahanda. Ura mama santo. Usketo breso varamo. Naitoki bahasala. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Come. Quickly. Look for her right feet. Put your palm on it. Right? Put your palm there. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we demand the release of that which was taken from your daughter. Yeah. Now you can marry. Now you can marry. Father, anyone here that was involved in a ceremonial bath, and through this bath, their destinies were tampered with. Delay was factored into their lives. Disfavor and suffering, reproach was programmed thereby. In the name of Jesus Christ, we reverse that transaction. Listen to me. The Lord speaks to me. There is somebody in this congregation, you have killed a human being before. Now, look for a way to see me. I'm going to be here for some time. In a way that people won't know. You killed a human being. You killed a human being. You are in this congregation. Look for a way to see me. I need to help you quickly. Because the sword is coming after you. If we restitute that position very well, you will live. Death has been sent to look for you. You killed. Some of you, your prosperity was taken. So you may wish to shake me. And if you do, you can go back to your seat. You can go back. Father, let there be restoration in the name of Jesus. A restoration in the name of Jesus. Restoration. In the name of Jesus. A restoration. In the name of Jesus. A restoration. We take away the reproach. We take away the reproach. We annul the transaction. In the name of Jesus. We annul the transaction. In the name of Jesus, step into destiny. We deny every controlling influence access to the control panel of your life. In the name of Jesus. There's no time left. We reverse the transaction in the name of Jesus. Ah. Listen. Before we pray for these ones, there's someone here, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. Because I see two dwarf spirits that visit you. You are in trouble. And you know you are in trouble. The direction in which these dwarf spirits are leading you, you don't want to go in that direction. But you are entangled. You can't help yourself. That's why you came to church. If you are not ashamed, I will help you. Dwarf spirits. They appear in your dream. It's a normal phenomenon. Two dwarf entities that you see. I came to help. I came to help. I'm here to help. Hallelujah. You know the reason why I will show somebody mercy today? Somebody was sent to attack me today. The reason why we allow you leave is because there's mercy today. That's the reason why we allow you leave. The Lord has encountered me recently. He has given me authority. I saw him. Someone came to attack me today. Don't try that again. Your life will be taken from you. But today you are free. Yes, sister, what's the challenge?
The first time I had a dream, I was playing with a dwarf spirit. And the second time, it was chasing me in the dream. But when I woke up, I felt a strong presence as though it was beside me.
The one I'm talking about is two. It's only one, you see. Okay, what's your own experience?
It was yesterday night.
Yesterday night?
Yes, like one female spirit. She was sure that she was looking for
now,
me.
The one I'm seeing is two. The person...
Were two.
There were two.
And they bowed to one thing before they came to fight me in the dream.
Listen to me. I think we need to stop. You are bound. Somebody's bound. This dwarf entity, he comes to have sex with someone. Where are you? The Lord sent me to you today. Make sure you are delivered. Can we pray for this lady before we shut down? Pray for these two people. Stretch forth your hand quickly. These are serious matters. This dwarf entity comes to have sex. Is it you? It's you. For how long have you been in this condition? 3 years.
Yes, sir.
You are bound. I don't know. Did you go to look for powers? Did you go to... I give a warning. That person that they sent here to come and attack me, today is your day. Jesus is merciful today. You will not be this lucky. next time. Pray for them. Pray, pray. Yes, what? Why is that one there?
It happened to me also once.
The dwarf came and had sex with you. Can you ask God for mercy right now? Right now. Right now. Oh, Father, have mercy. Have mercy. Now, bring all of them to my office. These are deep matters. Deep. Deep. Deep matters. Deep matters. Father. Father. Let these ones be released from the yoke of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Loser. Yeah. Yeah. Let her go. Let her go. In the name of Jesus. Now, help me. Help me. Yeah. That's what it is. In the name of Jesus. Restore what you took. Restore it now. Restore it now. Restore it now. Yeah. And for everyone in this congregation, Lord, every family represented, every clan represented, and any form of darkness that is factored into their civilization, it is against him who is the father of light. And so tonight we ask that your illumination might shine. Shine so bright. Shine so bright. In the name of Jesus. Oh my. Unfortunately, there's someone in the congregation. You were given witchcraft just two weeks ago, 14 days ago. You were given witchcraft. What? Who is taking off? We have to. Let's stop here.